Shortly after seeing McCoy, I got an offer to go on the road with a singer out of Reno, Nevada. He was forming a new act and needed a keyboard player. I was hesitant at first about having to drive to Reno just to try out for and maybe not get the job, but he assured me I had the job if I showed up. So I took my union card and headed east this time. I could not go any further west living on the coast unless I was a much better swimmer. I started working at casinos while still living in the Bay Area of San Francisco. It was about a 3-hour drive to work. After a time, I took an apartment there. The first band I got to work with was the Robin Turley Show. I worked with Robin Turley in Reno and Lake Tahoe, Nevada. I met him at a perfect time in my life, and he was a great mentor. Robin taught the members of his band how to be a professional in the music business. He told us that there was more to it than just playing the music. I also learned from him that if you're trying to be the best musician around, there's always someone better than you. Robin told me, "Ronnie, there are 100 keyboard players in town that are better than you, but I chose you because I know you will always be there backing me up." Robin thought the smart thing was to be an entertainer and not to have to deal with the competition of trying to be the best musician. And the best way to do that was to be yourself. He said, "No one can be a better you than you." Robin could never pronounce my last name a Knaus, so he wanted me to make up a stage name, but I never liked the idea, so he asked me, "What is your middle name?" I answered him, "Lee." He said, "There's your stage name, Ronnie Lee," and I have played professionally using that name thereafter. Robin suggested that we find out what we do best musically and do it the best we can. He showed us how to back up the frontman and how to take the spotlight yourself. Robin is very generous with his compliments about his band members to the audience. He told us, "Showing the audience that I have a good band behind me makes me look even better." Years later, while performing in a group, I stood on the foundation of a professional entertainer that Robin shared with us. Thank you, Robin, for your patience with me and your positive direction. I wrote 2 songs in the same half hour early one morning after playing all night with Robin on the road in Fallon, Nevada. Nightmares.
Day breaks when I sit in. If I want more where I feel, in my life so pretty, my headache.
And Devil Dead Ringer.
Are you hand me round your little finger.
Both these songs are in the 3-act play I wrote later, Rock, A Musical Experience. Twice while working in Nevada casinos, I had the opportunity to play on the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon. I never met him personally, but I do remember one funny thing they told us about him. He always had to put on a brand new pair of socks each morning and gave the old ones to charity, and I guess he could afford it. I heard of a lot worse things people did with their money. Using the experience I gained while playing with Robin, I put together my own show band projects. The first one was Cool and Classy. Disco music was starting to have an adverse effect on live entertainment, so in this band, we did a 1-hour show, then we played disco music for the next. I would rather be a live performing entertainer than a disc jockey, although it did get us more jobs because of the disco break music. I lived alone while playing with Cool and Classy, and I wrote the song Each Other, dreaming of what it would be like if I had a partner in life.
We got each other. Love will keep us together. We don't need any other, babe. We got each other.
This song is also in the rock opera. I remember hearing once that Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, paid girls $5 to go to their concerts and scream. Soon after that, it caught on as mass hysteria. Well, I got the bright idea of how to convince a new club owner to hire Cool and Classy. I called all the band's fan club members and asked them to call the club and ask, "Is Ronnie Lee and Cool and Classy playing there this week?" Then the bottom fell out when our drummer quit the band for a job in another club. There was only one thing I could do, call the club manager. I told him what had happened and he said,
"You don't worry about it. Our phone has been ringing off the wall with people that want to come and see you play. You do your DJ show and that'll be just fine."
Later, when it came time to get paid, I reminded the manager that the entire band did not perform, so I expected less pay. The man grabbed me by the shirt and stuffed the money down inside.
"You take this money. I will not tell my boss there was any problem here, or I will have to answer why. So, you take this money and go home happy so I can."
That is what it was like working for the mob. They also went to the club where our old drummer was playing and told the club manager, "That drummer boy has to leave his club for union violations." That was back when the musician union was under mob control and they would actually do something to support the members. In 1977, I took a job playing keyboard in an Elvis Presley impersonation show in Reno. The Arthur Murray Dance Studio sponsored the show, and they paid us a weekly salary and provided us a home to stay in. Another investor in the show owned the local International House of Pancakes. And we got so much free food from that restaurant, I have not eaten there since. The Elvis Show worked for most of the summer, putting together the act that was scheduled to open Friday, August 20th. On Tuesday the 17th, when I went to the last band rehearsal before we opened at the Goldust West, the band manager informed us that he had just received a phone call from Elvis Presley's father. He told us that Elvis, his son, had just been found dead in his home. We discussed canceling the opening with him out of respect for Elvis, but Mr. Presley encouraged us by saying,
"Elvis would want you to go on with the show."
So we did, but we had no idea what would happen.